This is a re-recording of a lesson given on April 14, 2013 by Roger Starnes called Soldiers of Christ. When you become a soldier, it takes a lot from you. In 2 Timothy 2:4 says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." You know, from the United States point of view, we have a number of different armed forces. We have the Department of the Army, we have the Department of the Air Force, the United States Coast Guard, the Department of the Navy, both the Marines and the Navy, and also the Department of Veteran Affairs. On screen right now, I have badges for all six of these. When we're thinking about becoming a soldier, we talk about how soldiers have to focus on the task at hand, not focusing in on other things as we look at maybe the affairs of our life or the things that we have going on. So what is it that it takes to be a soldier? What is required for one to be a soldier? We're going to look at some things here. From the website military.com, I have recruiting content. If you just go there, you can find a list of different training programs for the armed forces of the United States. For instance, for the Army, it takes 1 week of indoctrination and 9 weeks of basic training, followed by advanced individual training, or AIT. For the Navy, it takes 8 weeks of basic training, followed by intermediate training and advanced training for certain specialties. The Air Force, 6.5 weeks for long basic military training program, or BMT, and tech school for certain specialties. The Marine Corps, everybody talks about being a Marine, and there's a good reason why a lot of Marines think they are a little bit extra tougher. It takes 12 weeks for basic training, followed by infantry or combat training, followed again by MOS training for certain specialties. The Army National Guard, 1 week of indoctrination and 9 weeks basic training, followed by advanced individual training, again called AIT. And finally, the Coast Guard, 8 weeks basic training, normally followed by Class A schools training for certain specialties. Sometimes we don't think about the National Guard or the Coast Guard as part of our armed forces, but they certainly are important to this country. And you can watch the Weather Channel and see a little bit of what it takes to be a Coast Guard service member. So there's another point that they have on military.com are 8 tips for successfully completing basic training. Basic training is not easy. We just went through the list of what it takes. But there's 8 things the military.com website for armed forces about joining that helps people figure out what they have, what it takes. Number one tip they have for you is shut up and listen. Absolutely important when you're in military that you just be quiet and listen to the rules that are being given to you. Number two, you don't make the rules. They do. You've got to follow them. Number three, and I have this in quotes, they say, "Pick me." You know, sometimes people like to raise their hand and volunteer for things that they're not quite ready for. Number four, prioritize. You want to make sure that you're doing the things that need done, not the things that you want to do. Number five, staying focused. We all know if we stay focused at the task at hand, we'll complete it. If we don't, we'll just skip on through it. Number six, help your buddy. Certainly important in the military. If you don't have somebody behind you, got your back, as they say, you might be in trouble. You want to make sure that you've got your buddy's back. Number seven, break the rules at your own risk. Sure, you can break rules in anything in life, but if you do, you're going to have to deal with the consequences. And finally, number eight, do not question the logic behind what you're doing. Those are the 8 things that military.com says are for successfully completing basic training. Number one, we talked about the rule, shut up and listen. The basic rule of thumb is that recruits should be seen and heard. Another way of putting it, when it comes to your drill instructors, don't speak until spoken to. Again, this is another part of the list for military.com. Number two, you don't make the rules. Don't argue with your drill instructors ever. There's no way on earth that you'll win. And it will, no doubt, cost you in terms of extra PT or physical training. In the battle of wills, they hold a decidedly unfair advantage. Number three, pick me. Be careful what you wish for. Standing out can have its rewards, but it's a double-edged sword. You won't likely be asked to volunteer for a leadership assignment like a squad leader, but if they pick you, you will find yourself responsible for not only your own performance, but also those in your squad. Number four on the list, prioritize. In boot camp, your life is going to be broken down into 2 piles. things that you want to do. We all like to sleep or read books, write mail, talk with your buddies. And things that you have to do. Shine your shoes, roll your laundry, buff floors, scrub toilets. The temptation will be strong to slack off and procrastinate. They say don't. Take care of what you have to do. Remember, the military will not make you disciplined, but your drill sergeants can make you wish you were. Number 5 on the list from military.com about 8 tips for successfully completing basic training is staying focused. They say boot camp is 80% mental and 20% physical. Don't get discouraged or given to temptation to give up, namely because quitting is not an option. Don't look too far ahead and stay focused on the task at hand. Number 6 on the list, help your buddy. You will live, eat, sleep, fight, and die as a team. The sooner you learn to work as a team, the sooner life will get better for you. Boot camp is about being part of a team. Individuals are weeded out and swiftly taken care of. You need to be focused on the we aspect of everything you do. Number 7, break the rules at your own risk. There are very few rules unique to boot camp, but they do expect you to follow them. Failure to do so may convince the military that you are not worth wasting time on or resources on. At the very least, you will find yourself poorer financially and more invigorated physically. Keep that in mind. And finally, number 8, do not question the logic behind what you're doing. Just about everything that you will do in boot camp has a purpose, even if that purpose is nothing more than to confuse you. There will come times when you want to question why you are doing something, which in your opinion is stupid and a waste of your time. Boot camp is a one-size-fits-all method, and so it never sits well with anyone. So just suck it up and remember point number 5. So we know what it takes to become a soldier. We know what it takes to get through boot camp and the 8 tips that we just covered. We want to talk about now becoming a soldier of Christ. How can we look at some of the things that we just talked about as far as being a Christian, being a soldier of Christ? 2 Timothy 2, 2-4 says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." So what is required for one to be a soldier of Christ? Much the same as the military soldier. Let's go back to our list. Shut up and listen. We talked about what that list of 8 things was. Well, in Exodus 7, verse 16, "And you shall say to him, The Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear." Moses talking to Pharaoh and letting him know that God had a plan and that he needed to go along with it. But he didn't. Zechariah 1:4, "Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear nor heed me, says the Lord." So, shutting up and listen, 2 people, 2 good examples, and a whole people of the Jews that did not listen. Matthew 17:5, "While I was speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, of whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Number 2 on our list, you don't make the rules. Don't argue with your drill instructors, we said. How can we apply this as a Christian? Deuteronomy 8:6, "Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, walk in his ways and fear him." Psalms 25:4, "Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths." Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways or your ways my ways, said the Lord." So, when we're talking about making the rules, we need to understand that God makes the rules, we are just to follow. Proverbs 14:12 and also in 16:25, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Number 3 from our list on military.com was pick me. James 3:1-3 says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we shall all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." Number 4 on the 8 list is prioritize. How about becoming a soldier of Christ? How can we factor that in? Matthew 6:33 tells us, says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I encourage you to look at that passage and see what all those things are. Luke 9:25, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself is destroyed or lost? If you don't have your things prioritized, what you think is good is not going to help you. Number 5 on our list was stay focused. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Staying focused. Colossians 3:1-3, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And also for number 5, 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of a life that is now and of that which is to come. Number 6 is help your buddy. Colossians 3:12-13 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And also for helping for our buddy, greater love has no one than this than to lay down one's life for his friends. Number 7 on the list, break the rules at your own risk. Luke 13:22-25 addresses this. And he went through their cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Number 8 on our list is do not question the logic behind what you're doing. Passages we have for that, Psalms 119:133, direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Sometimes we just need to understand that God knows what we're doing, we may not. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah knew this. Maybe we don't. Went back to the movie of The Karate Kid, and as I mentioned in my lesson on the 14th, one of my favorite movies growing up was The Karate Kid. And at the time, I watched that most of the time on television. Television back then was edited pretty well, and they took out the profanity that I have just recently learned was in the movie. So make sure that you're careful about where you get some, you may look and try to see some of these things. But in the movie, the young apprentice, Daniel, was going through trying to become a better martial artist. And Pat Morita was playing the role of his sensei or his teacher, and he had him doing petty things in Daniel's mind on the show, waxing his car, painting the fence, sanding the floor. He just couldn't understand why he's having him do all these stupid things. But if you watch the movie, what you'll see at the very end, after he's getting so frustrated with putting the wax on with one hand and polishing it a certain way and taking it off with the other hand, or painting the fence with certain brush strokes, or sanding the floor on this all the decks that he had on the property, he's like, this is a waste of time. It is not anything useful for me. And he had him show his teacher all the motions that he had to do there, and he just thought it was so stupid. Until finally Pat Morita says, okay, your training starts now, and he would have tried to attack him, and showing him that trying to wax the car was helping him do these circular motions to block these assaults. Painting the fence was doing the same thing, and so was sanding the floor. Each one of those things making him stronger. He was questioning why he was doing those things that to him were stupid. But Pat Morita, as his acting role there, was showing him that these laborious exercises didn't make sense, but they're making him the person that he wanted to be. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So why? Why do we try to focus in on that? Ephesians 6:12-13 says, for we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in that evil day, having done all to stand. So if we want to be not engaged in warfare, we want to make sure that we've got things to protect us. So becoming a soldier of Christ, in summary, like boot camp, enlisting into Christ's kingdom, to become a strong, capable Christian requires constant work, denying yourself and focusing on the future day by day. There will be challenges. We have to deal with them. It will not be easy. However, we will be better off if we go the course. We make it through this training and the success of becoming a soldier of Christ. And your success will enable the kingdom to be spread. A dishonorable discharge is eternal. And finally, in closing, 2 Timothy 2:10, "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that I may also be able to obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Hebrews 12:7, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you all as sons." So like we talked about in the beginning with the six symbols of the different armed forces of the United States, becoming a soldier of Christ, we get to wear that banner of being a Christian. We can put that patch on our chest and say, "I am one of Christ's soldiers. I am a soldier of Christ." Complete this lesson, and the next part of the lesson will be looking at completing the mission. Thank you.